You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ in others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on Palm Sunday, April 9th, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus and his disciples had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him, and they followed him, shouting, "Hosanna to the highest Son of God! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So, how's Lent been for you? Has it felt very Lentish? Were you diligent in prayer and fasting and almsgiving? Did you take something up or leave something behind? Did you allow the season to work on you? Were you actually aware that it was Lent? Whether Lent was deeply meaningful for you or 40 days, just like any other 40 days, it has come to an end. Ready or not, today we'll turn from Lent to Holy Week, the most beautiful and dramatic and transformative week of the year for Christians. It's a week that will change our lives if we let it. But I'm jumping ahead. The gospel stories we've heard throughout Lent have all been about recognizing Jesus. Do you remember the Samaritan woman at the well who told her neighbors to come and see a man who told me everything I ever did? He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Or the man born blind who exclaimed, "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And just last Sunday, we heard Jesus tell Martha that everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked her, "Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." Whether or not we've kept up with Lenten disciplines, the scriptures have been preparing us for this day and for the week ahead. We've come to recognize Jesus through the stories of his encounters with all sorts of people. He's been revealed as the Messiah, the Holy One of God, the one who has come to save the world. And he's been not just revealed to the people in the stories. He's been revealed to us too. No wonder there's a big parade. It's the Messiah, the one everybody's been waiting for. The story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is one of those stories we think we know so well, don't we? After all, we hear it every year. But what if there were something new for us in this story? What if we could see the story through fresh eyes? What if we could set aside the paintings and frescoes and images we've seen through the years and imagine ourselves as a part of that long-ago crowd? This winter, I had the opportunity to walk along the path that Jesus rode that day, and I assure you, the story became very new, very present, and very, very real for me. As we began our journey, everyone seemed to go inside themselves. All conversation stopped as we walked along that dusty road. I could almost hear the hosannas being shouted, feel the press of people trying to get a closer look, sense the crowd being whipped into a frenzy of power-fueled excitement. I'm sure some of those people didn't even know who Jesus was, but they probably couldn't help but get caught up in all of it. Everything they had hoped for seemed to be right there in front of them. The energy on that road is still palpable. The people who lined the road and threw down their coats on that long-ago Palm Sunday parade had waited a very long time for the promised Messiah, and they thought they had a pretty good idea of who he would be. They expected a mighty king, one who would overthrow the Roman occupiers, seize political power, and bring back the good life from the time when King David ruled the land. They did get a king. He just didn't turn out to be the kind of king they expected. Though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. That's the kind of king he was. And as he rode into Jerusalem, he brought the power of God's love as his only weapon. It was a confusing time, a tumultuous time. And while it all seemed really exciting, it was a very, very scary time. Jesus threatened both the political and religious rulers of his time because the law he taught was the law of love. And the law of love does not recognize the sort of power the occupying government or the religious authorities wielded. The law of love doesn't recognize power that allows a few to have much and most to have little. Doesn't recognize power that sets people against one another because they don't look like each other or think like each other or because they call God by a different name. The law of love is the law that recognizes each and every human being as God's own beloved. Jesus is just as threatening today as he was then. His power, the power of God's boundless love, is the only power that can overthrow the hatred and injustice that is stirred up when self-serving powers employ scare tactics to set us against one another. The power of love is the only power that can soften hardened hearts and heal heartsick and weary souls. It is stronger than hate, stronger than rage, stronger than money or power or prestige or privilege. The power of love is stronger even than death. This is our story, and it all unfolds in the coming week. I know it can be tempting to want to skip the hard parts, to delight in the Palm Sunday parade, and then tomorrow just to go back to school or back to work or back to our ordinary lives. It's tempting to want to skip straight through to Easter when we can join another parade, this time shouting, "Alleluia, he's risen." But, oh, my dears, what a poverty it is not to immerse ourselves in everything that happens between the hosannas and the alleluias. I understand our reluctance to walk with Jesus through this last and most holy week of his life. There is enough suffering in the real world, we say. I don't want to go through suffering for the sake of suffering. And if it were suffering for the sake of suffering, I wouldn't go either. But none of Jesus' life, and not even his death, was for the sake of suffering. It was all for the sake of love. For love of God, for love of each one of us. It was for the love of this very community, just as much as it was for the love of his father and his mother and the disciples and all those people he walked with throughout his too short life. When we make the journey through Holy Week together, when we allow ourselves to fully enter into each one of the beautiful and moving liturgies, we will come to the Easter resurrection filled with a joy that is unimaginable to those who came directly from the Palm Sunday parade. Don't wait until next Sunday to come back. Come to church tomorrow night and begin Holy Week by letting go of your burdens in our service of healing and reconciliation. Contemplation, beautiful music, and the opportunity to offer up all of your hurts and heartaches to the God who loves you more than life itself await you. On Tuesday night, there's an amazing and wonderful service just for the youth. It's an exploration of the last week of Jesus' life and a glorious experience of his resurrection. Bring your whole family on Monday, Thursday, when we'll have supper together, sharing communion at table with friends, just as Jesus did on that last night with his friends. Hear his words as he reminds us that unless we humble ourselves enough to let him wash our feet, we can have no part in him. Come to the garden. Hear the story of his arrest. Stay with him in the chapel and keep watch. And don't be afraid to come back on Friday, that most difficult day we call good. You will feel the greatest love of all that day, palpable in the story of the God who chose to experience every single aspect of what it is to be human. And when, with God's friends, we've walked alongside Jesus, feeling the love of deep friendship, the heartache of betrayal, the seeming loss of everything that is good, we will come to the Easter vigil knowing that God is in absolutely everything with us and that love always, always wins. Our Easter vigil is for the whole family. We gather around a great fire, hear the ancient stories. You can bring your pots and pans and noisemakers and experience the thrill of the very first Eucharist of Easter. The joy of resurrection experience at the Easter vigil is like nothing else. The events of Holy Week are not easy. They weren't easy for Jesus and his friends, and they aren't easy for us. Yet Holy Week embodies all of our questions, all of our suffering, all of our heartaches, and all of our joy. Holy Week helps us to see God at work in every aspect of our lives, not waving a magic wand to disappear the sadness, but making meaning out of everything we experience and turning everything, finally, into love. You see, God isn't with us only on Sundays. In Holy Week, just as in every other week of our very real lives, God is present and calling and loving and making meaning in all of the Monday through Saturday in-between times, too. Join us on the journey. Find your place in God's great story. Walk with Jesus through the last week of his life. It's a journey like no other, and it just might change you forever. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.